Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to give you the backdrop a little bit of Luke chapter 4. Where we're going to read from in verse 18 is Jesus is in the synagogue and they hand him a scroll. It's his turn to read. And so they hand him the scroll, and they hand him the scroll of the writing of Isaiah, which we know is a book in the Old Testament. And Isaiah, obviously he was a prophet of the Lord, but we call him a messianic prophet. In other words, a lot of his prophecy had to do with the coming of the Messiah, or the Christ, or Savior, or who we know as Jesus. And it's interesting at this moment that they hand him this scroll to read from, and he is going to read from the prophet Isaiah, and he's going to actually read about himself. And then, of course, he makes the comment after he reads that this passage, this prophecy, is now fulfilled in your hearing. Basically, he's the one. And so he reads this, and in Luke chapter 4, we'll read what's written also from Isaiah. And it says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." So here is Jesus. He has been anointed by his Father, by the Spirit of God, to proclaim good news to the poor. And I want us to think about this, and we're going to travel along a road here a little bit. And I don't want you to jump to conclusions before we finish, okay? But what would be good news to a person who is poor? Money would be good news to a person who is poor. Let's define poor here for a moment. It's in that context, it is, we don't have the resource to meet the demand or our obligation or responsibility. In other words, in this realm of being poor, it's I've got a bill to pay and I don't have the resource. Now, whether we, you know, misspent the funds, or whether it's our fault, or something unexpected came up where it's a hospital bill, or it's a vehicle breakdown and we don't have an emergency fund, or our emergency fund already went to another emergency, like the pizza guy showed up at the door. Whatever it is, we don't have what it takes to meet the demand, and therefore we are poor. Whether it's you don't have $5 or the demand is $20,000 and you don't have it, we're poor. Now, we think in those terms, because I'm thinking, gee, what would be good news to a guy who is poor? Listen, I remember when my wife and I were first starting out, and our oldest daughter, stand up, just because I love you and you're beautiful. Our oldest daughter, we brought home in a car seat from the hospital. You were so cute. You were so tiny. And I was grateful that you were a girl. I wanted a boy.
I know.
But once I saw you and touched you and held you, and oh, I was so glad that you're a girl. Even growing up in our home with all the ups and downs and all those experiences, I'm just so glad you're a girl. I love you.
Love you too.
I'm not trying to embarrass you. I love you. She was just a tiny little thing. And then, you can sit down. And then, 13 months later, 13 months later, she was born. And I was wanting a boy. But after I saw her and held her and we named her, I was so glad she was a girl. These are two. Don't patronize me. Brought her home in a car seat. Two tiny little things, each in their own car seat. And I was a full-time youth pastor and, you know, driving around, broke down cars, trying to keep them running. Didn't make very much money. Had student loans and all those kind of things and whatever. And I remember, you know, trying to grind out $40, $60 to give to Sue to do groceries for the week. And by the way, this was in a foreign country, so it wasn't quite equal to 40 U.S. dollars or 60 U.S. dollars. I lived in a foreign country, Canada. And married a foreign woman. But, you know, and I remember those days, you know. Not begrudgingly, not mad, but, you know, it was filled with, you know, anxiety and we don't have very much and, you know, we're trying to, you know, make this work. I mean, I remember, you know, when they were born and I was bringing them home, and they were born in 1980, December of 89, and then 13 months later, February of 91. And this was in Ontario, Canada. And, you know, it's like a day like today. That was kind of like summer there. You know, it was northern Ontario where we lived at the time. And it was cold, and I was driving a 1972 Chrysler Newport. Some of you are like, I don't even know what that is. It is a very long boat on four wheels, okay? I mean, it was huge, you know? It's what I could, you know, squeak out to afford to buy. And, you know, it was a two-door. And, you know, the cool thing was it had a 400 motor in it. Here's the bad news. It just gulped gasoline, okay? And so you're trying to make these things meet, you know, and it just... You're going through it. You're serving the Lord. You're trusting Him and trying to, you know, in some ways, as they say, you know, rob from Peter to pay Paul and do, you know, you just try to do this and, you know, you feel poor. It's hard to meet the demand. And so I remember what it meant when, you know, somebody would walk up and, you know, unexpectedly give us a, you know, a Pentecostal handshake. Do you know what that is? How many of you don't know what a Pentecostal handshake is? You put your hand up. Don't feel ignorant or bad. Just say, I don't know. Raise your hand if you're like, well, I'm pretending I know, but I don't really. Yeah. It goes like this. You take out, you know, somebody would come up and they'd have money in their hand, you know, like this. And they just kind of walk up, and you didn't know it, and they just shake your hand. Hey, how you doing? And then they leave it in your hand. That's a Pentecostal handshake. You know, you give money away. And the example's no good unless you put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocket. It's for you. Take her for ice cream or something, or bring ice cream home, or do something. How's that? Does that sound good to you, sweetie? Yeah? You like ice cream? Yeah? Do you like hamburgers and fries and stuff too, or whatever? You do? Okay, well, if you're going to do that, I need to give you more money. There.
No.
There you go. So, you know, it's... It was somebody, I had a hard time making ends meet, you're doing your best. Somebody gives you a Pentecostal handshake, and it's just, you know, it's this surprise. It's this kindness. It's, you know, put it in your pocket, would you? Don't leave it out. Put it in your pocket. Or give it to her if you want. I don't, you know. Yeah, let her buy it. You know, you felt, in ways you felt kind of poor. And this blessing would come, and you know, it just, you're so grateful. You feel humbled by it. You're not looking for it. You're not asking for it. It's just, you know, and you're reminded that, you know, you just can't meet the demand. So when the Pentecostal handshake came, it was like good news to me. So Jesus was anointed to bring good news, proclaim good news to the poor. Now, those of you who are a little familiar with Scripture, a little familiar with Jesus, you know that the human level of this, you know, money and the poor and all, you know that if you've been around the Lord at all or any of those Scriptures, you know, there's more to this than what meets the eye, right? So now let's travel to the next step here. Turn to the person next to you and say, and smile at them, say it very kindly, and you're not pronouncing a curse on them. Just look at them and say, you're poor. You're poor. Because here's the deal. This is why I have you say it, is this. In Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus teaches about the Beatitudes, he says this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, it's not about the economy of just money of what's being poor. It's that all of us were born poor. You know, it has nothing to do with if you were born to a family that had a luxury home or you were born to a family that didn't have a home at all. We were all born poor, poor in spirit, because we were born into sin. As nice as my parents are, and I love my parents, and I know flaws about them, but I have an affection for them, a respect for them, a love for them. You know, I'm grateful. But, you know, I was born to sinful parents. I got news for you. So are you. Here's even greater news. So are your kids. You know, as sweet and wonderful as they were, I also knew that as cute as they were, that these cute little babies, my girls, two of my girls of three, I have four children. The fourth one was a boy, by the way. At that point, I was expecting more girls. My wife's glad that the fourth one was not a girl, because I would have really tried to encourage her to let's go for five. I would have loved my own girls' basketball team just living in my house, you know. But she knew it was a boy, and she looked at me and said, we're done, you know, because we had 4 and 4.5 years, so every day was survival, you know. And all of you who are in the mix of that, I want you to know that there is life after that, okay? It's wonderful. And, you know, we have 3 grandchildren now. And, you know, so my wife is a grandmother, a granny. I'm just a young man who has 3, you know, or has 2 children that have 3 kids of their own, you know. So... So, poor in spirit, we were all born that way. And so, the poor, the good news to the poor is that he provides the answer for our poverty. We know that Jesus says in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, this is really, this is the good news part, okay? Is that we were born poor, and therefore we are poor in spirit. Nothing to do with the economy of our human life on the human level, okay, is a recognition that we were born poor and that you and I cannot do enough to meet the demand of the bill before us, which we know that sin has to be paid for. See? And so, but though we're born and we're poor in spirit, here's the good news. It wasn't that Jesus just came to proclaim. He is actually the not just the messenger, he's the message. See, it's interesting to think about being poor in spirit, and now in that same phrase, you know, that ours is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, the King of Kings, the perfect King, the King who takes care of his kingdom and all who are in it. That all he has is been given unto you and I. And the great news is, we didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to earn it. We can't work for it. I mean, let's face it. You know, how do we really save ourselves for eternity? I can't pay enough for my own sins. And even before I committed a sin, I was born as a sinner. I really love the title of Jesus. You've heard me say this many times. One of my favorite titles of Jesus is, he is a friend of sinners. It gives, man, it just gives me hope. You know, a guy like me, it gives me hope that, you know, he would pick me. Out of the crowd, he'd pick me because, you know, I was born into sin and I've committed sin. And yet, because I'm poor in spirit, the good news for me is that the bill I can't pay, he pays for me. That I'm no longer just poor in spirit, but now the kingdom of heaven is mine. And not because I've earned it, not because I'm good. It's because he's good. And he paid for my sin. You see, what's good news to the person who is blind? Good news for the person, yeah, sight. That would be good news. If I was blind and then I could see, that is great news. If I'm poor and the bill's been paid, that's great news. What's good news for a person who's deaf? That they could hear. What is good news for the person who is oppressed? Oh, that their oppressor couldn't reach them anymore. Right? What's good news for the prisoner? That they're not in prison anymore. The captive goes free. See, look at the rest of this verse. Jesus is reading this and he says, the scripture is fulfilled. I'm reading about myself here. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, or upon Jesus, because he's anointed, inspired of the Spirit to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The interesting thing is that we know as we look at that, Jesus did that on that human physical level. We know that he gave physically blind people physical sight. We see in Scripture on occasion where, you know, a person who was deaf or mute, they could now hear and they could speak. We watch Jesus come into the life of broken people who weren't holy. They were like, you know, the person next to you. That's a nice way of saying you and me. And so he did this on this human physical level, but we know that it wasn't just about the poor getting money. It was that he made a way for them to be free from poverty in their spirit, because he wasn't just providing for this life, but for all eternity. I mean, what's it profit a man to gain the whole world and then in the end lose his own soul? I mean, all of this would mean nothing, right? So, think about this. He did it on the physical level, but those who were poor in spirit, it's like they couldn't see. I mean, have you ever talked to somebody and shared something with them, and they're going, yeah, 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 and you walk away and you know they don't get it. Right? They don't get it. It's like having a Harley, for example. Having a Harley, for example, and making it as quiet as possible. You know, so, Harley, it's kind of loud, and it's not that it's got to be loud. I mean, you want a quality sound. I don't want to go into all that. It's not about Harleys, but, well, it kind of is. But anyhow, it's this. It's, you explain it, wow, the Harley's so loud, I don't want it to be loud. You explain it to somebody. You can justify things like, well, hey, it's a safety issue. You know, loud noise saves lives. They notice, you know, you can go through all the reason, or you can just come to the base level of saying, it's just cool. Okay, you know, you can go through whatever your justification is. And some people go, yeah, and you walk away, and it's like, if I have to explain it, they just don't get it. Well, that's like Jesus proclaiming good news. You and I proclaiming good news, and some people, they just kind of look at you. They don't see it. They hear you. They understand your words, but they don't get it. It's like they're deaf. They don't see it, and they just choose to continue to live their life under this oppression and being captive to their own way. But when Jesus comes and proclaims good news to us, the poor, it's like when we get it, our eyes are opened. Ah! You know, it's kind of like when you have understanding, you go, oh, I see. Uh-huh. I see. I get it. It's like I'm no longer deaf to your words, Lord. I hear and I understand. And in you and this, your blood and your resurrection and your revelation to me and me putting faith in you, it sets me free from being a prisoner to sin, a prisoner to myself, a prisoner to my own way that I thought was the only way. And all of a sudden the scales fall off my eyes and I hear and I understand and I realize I've been in a prison and now I'm free from that life. He has rescued me, being free from the oppressor. I mean, you know, who is the accuser of the believers? The accuser of the brethren. It's the enemy of your soul and mine, the prince of darkness. And, you know, condemnation and guilt and you'll never change and, you know, you could say what you want and you don't mean it and, oh, look at you failed again and just the oppressor is right there to just drag us down. Look what happened in your life. There's no God. If he cared, then this wouldn't, you know, and we get, yeah, you know, we kind of start to look from our limited perspective as if we have the whole truth, which we don't. We only see what passes before us. God sees the whole parade at once, the plan. And all of a sudden in Christ, we see that the oppressor no longer has a hold on us. He protects. Now, the interesting thing about this, you know, setting captives free and no longer being oppressed and protecting us and delivering us from that, it's not like we're not going to walk through hardship in this life. It's just that the hardship is not going to deter us, distract us, or cause us to compromise that which we know is true in Christ, that He has allowed us to inherit the kingdom of heaven here on earth and for eternity, and He can heal my sight, and He can heal my hearing, and He can set me free, and He can deliver me from the oppressor. See, there's no reason for me to protect my daughter unless there is a present threat. Like right now, I'm protecting her. No, there's no threat. So when the threat comes and the oppressor comes, who do you think steps in? The one you belong to. Because you're in His kingdom. And He doesn't just allow darkness to walk in and out unchecked and have its way with His people. He is a good king. It cost Him everything so that He could give me, who is poor and undeserving, and pay the bill. To open my eyes, to open my ears, to set me free from a prison that I was born into. You see, you might be here and think, well, my life's pretty good. You know, I live in a nice house. I got nice stuff. I got a little extra money. I got retirement. It's already, you know, pretty good. I want you to know that you need to remember. I need to remember the hole from which I was dug and rescued. You see, I don't want to ever forget the days when my babies were being born and I had to try to squeak out $40, $60 to cover our groceries for a week. I need to walk in the humility still today that I did then, knowing where He has brought me from, to remind me that He brought good news to this poor man. He opened the eyes of this poor man, the ears, set me free, got me free from my oppressor, got me free from the old life that I was born into. So that I remember the road that I traveled, because there are those around me who are maybe traveling that road right now. You see, you can have a lot of things in this life that don't remind us that we're poor or we're blind or that we don't see or that we think we're not in a prison, because we walk in just a little flavor, flare of arrogance, because we think we got us to where we're at. I want to remind us today that you and I were born into a poverty that we could not get ourselves out of. But now everything in His kingdom has been given to us because He's kind. He's forgiving. He looks upon a sincere heart. He breathes faith into us to overcome even our misinterpretations of our past and our life that we think we're right about. That He can bring us out of that and into a freedom. You see, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. She's my daughter. I mean, she's married. Everything I have is hers. She's my child. Now, your husband can't have any of it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Everything I have is yours. You need my truck? Right? You can't squeak out 40 bucks? Then you come over and eat, or we're dropping off groceries. Even if it's out of our own need. Because that's what we do, right? Everything I have is hers. They sell their place and have no place to live. They got a place to live. It's at our house. Everything I have belongs to my kids. Let me ask you this. Who is your father? If a man who is human and sinful and flawed knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more then our perfect Father in heaven knows how to give perfect gifts and the fullness of the Holy Spirit to his children who ask? Think about it. We were born poor, and now we get to humbly walk in to God's kindness, grace, mercy. With all of our hang-ups, with all of our sin, with all the experiences, with all of our frustration, all of our anger, all of our arrogance, all of our selfishness, He paid for it all, and that we could be free from it. It's not about who owes me. It's about I live in debt to the one who has loved me. Beyond the things I have misunderstood, He is faithful beyond what we can see. He works on our behalf. That which we didn't even ask for. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Paul writes it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans. He says, hey, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was poor in spirit, Christ died. While I was blind, He had good news for sight and understanding and hearing and coming to my defense and protecting. He has provided it all. The only debt I owe that matters is the debt of love to a God who took a poor kid in. Even without me asking, He made a way. But the moment I asked is that it was an expression of faith in His Son Jesus that made a way for me. For how can we pray to a God we don't first have faith exists, right? That I asked.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.